obsess over the process, not the outcome.
Hell yeah.
All of us, I think Instagram is a huge culprit of this, or social media. We're being taught that the outcome is the goal and the process is the goal. If every day you woke up and you hyper-focused on the process and not the goal, the goals would magically all of a sudden appear and achieve. And if you're approaching, if right now, if you did a business plan or if you're doing a business plan, take a look at all the goals or the things you want to achieve. And if these are outcome-based goals,
yeah.
I want to sell 20 million in real estate. I want to, do whatever it is that you put on there that's an outcome.
Yeah.
You have to reframe that goal into a system or a process.
Episode 5 with Open House with Steph. And I've got one of my favorite people on my podcast today, Sky Michaels, who is not only a dear friend, but somebody that I would call a mentor, someone I look up to, somebody that I have called many, many times at very inconvenient hours for all sorts of life and real estate advice. But thanks for being here. You're the best.
Oh, my God. It's a perfect thing to do before Christmas.
Yes.
So,
and we can I don't even really know where to start because you have such you're such a wealth of knowledge. You were just sharing with me, which I didn't realize, you've owned 6 businesses. Mm-hmm. And I think in the spirit of starting the new year, 2025, let's talk about some of the businesses you've started.
Sure.
What has helped you be successful in them?
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of people here are trying to think about business planning. Yep. So what are your...
I've owned everything from a real estate team.
Okay.
Obviously, Real Estate with Heart was my first business. Actually, my first business in my life was that I was a paperboy at 12. And that was actually a business because you basically bought the papers and then you had to collect the money each month. So anyways,
wait.
So really early in my life, So at the age of 12, I was technically my first business that I ran. And then my real estate team, I was original founding member of KW Philly now, years ago. I've founded 2 title companies as well. I was part of that. I founded 1 small coaching company called Good Sphere
Sphere.
As well. Yeah.
Good Sphere.
And then now my most recent venture, which is, with Heart Coaching.
Okay.
So,
but before this, you were before you ever got into real estate, which I always think is interesting, you were a teacher.
I was.
How did you make that transition?
Well, I always knew I wanted to be a teacher from very, very early on. You know, I'm sure everyone listening to this has that teacher they remember.
Yes.
Right?
No doubt.
It comes right to your mind who that person was. And so early in my life, I had extremely impactful teachers and mentors in my life.
Huh.
And I always wanted to be that person for other people. But then you graduate from college and, you know, you start working and you're poor as a teacher.
Yeah, it's a hard job.
You know, it's a great... As you progress through the years and the scales and salary tiers and all that stuff, it gets better. But in the early days, it's really thin. So every teacher has a side gig.
Mm.
So in 2002, I was my second year teaching and I'm like, man, how am I going to make this work? I was coaching 9th grade softball, women's softball. Didn't know anything about it, but I'm trying to make extra money.
Make it till you make it.
Yeah, exactly. And luckily I'm an athlete. So I was able to budget as much as I could. But I knew I needed to get something that gave a little more income. And so I fell into real estate in spring of 2002, just thinking there was going to be a side gig and I'd sell, 3 or 4 homes a year, make a little extra money, have stability of teaching with some of the, the upside of being, selling a part-time real estate.
Right. Especially because you have the summers free.
Correct.
Yeah. And it's like a big thing.
Remember in 2002, technology, we still had flip cell phones. We didn't have smartphones, a little bit different. Everything moved a little slower. Plus at that time we had the financing rules were different.
Mm-hmm.
The barrier to entry, if you were to look at the number of transactions that were happening back then to compared to now, you'd be blown away. So it was a much easier thing to get into as a part-time agent. And I did both. I taught and was a realtor for 3 years basically. Huh. But over time, it became obvious that this real estate thing was no longer part-time and it was full-time. But at the end of the day, it's very difficult to invest 5 years. I had a master's degree, so I had 5 years of, school, Syracuse University, a really good college. You work your entire life to become a teacher. And then you get your real estate license in four. I got mine in 4 weekends.
Yeah.
You're selling real estate. Yeah. Yeah. Just bang it out.
While I was in college.
Yeah. It's easy. Yeah. And then you're sitting there selling houses. You're like, wait, I'm going to leave. Everything I wanted in my life was security.
Right.
Stability.
Mm.
Insurance. Ooh. Pension. All those good.
I have no idea what any of that is.
A paycheck.
Wow.
I know. And so you work your entire life to get there. And then you get there. And then all of a sudden you're like, wait, I'm going to leave all that behind for the insecurity of every single day being unemployed.
Yep.
Every day I got to go out there and earn a paycheck. I'm going to work for 100% commission.
Yeah.
And anyway, so it's a very difficult thing to transition from that part-time realtor and this idea that you're going to give up that security and go all in. And took me 3 years to get there.
And I think it's so different now.
So different.
Are you coaching anyone now that is transitioning from like a full-time job into real estate?
I have no one that I'm coaching in like a one-to-one or intensive level. I do have a couple of people that are in some of the scaled programs, like the group programs. But I think the difference, the major difference right now is how fast everything
Lightning.
Moves,
yeah.
right? The other major difference is the lack of transactions, frankly. I mean, we're at record low. So if you take, you know, if you basically cut the number of transactions in half,
yep,
and then you're brand new trying to start out, you don't see that this is a viable option early on.
Right. It is so interesting. I was watching I had this really interesting interaction over the last couple of weeks with some buyers, and they, you know, I took them to an open house and I say to them, hey, we're going to go to this open house. The listing is brand new. Just be prepared. And they had already, you know, sat down with me and gone through the buyer's consult. And I showed them the supply and demand and how few homes there are. And I was like, it's going to be a zoo. And the couple walks out and he was like, wow, I think I underestimated the market. And he was like, how did it get like this? And I was like, well, to put it in perspective, I think in 2021, we sold over 6 million units. And in 2024, National Association of Realtors and some other data sources were like, for like just under 5 million.
Insane.
That's wild.
Yeah.
So it is really hard. And I think a lot of people are like, I think I'm just going to get my license and like, no knock on that. But I don't think like the industry has really changed. The way you buy and sell has changed.
Yeah.
The way people transact has changed.
Yep.
And therefore it's like the old way of selling real estate and the old way of it being a hobby.
Yeah. It no longer is a hobby. I think the one thing to come back to though, is that the fundamentals of real estate have not changed.
Actually, not only have they not changed, I think that it's gotten way more important that this has always been and will continue to be a relationship-based business.
Always. And I think you, if you think of other industries like the travel industry or even finance to some extent, right? There's always this world where technology is impacting every other real estate, or I'm sorry, every other industry in a way where these industries are changing pretty drastically.
Yeah.
Real estate is still extremely dominated by the realtor, and the role the realtor plays has not been replaced by technology. And I think it won't be in many ways.
I haven't seen it yet. Yeah. I mean, I think that if you're a good agent and you're on top of it, you can use a lot of these tools to enhance the consumer experience.
That's right.
Yeah. Like a lot of the tools at Compass and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
So back to all of your business experience, I mean, whether it's like real estate or other businesses, like what are your best practices for somebody who's trying to really build a business today in 2025? You can answer this in two different variations, real estate or just general entrepreneur.
Well, I think every realtor is an entrepreneur. So I can answer it for all. The first thing is all business owners, number one, need to simplify. And when you get into being an entrepreneur, often we go down this rabbit hole of the squirrel mentality of like, oh my God, I'm going to try this technique. I saw this on a podcast. I listened to this.
Guilty of that.
This Instagram ad, I clicked on it and it's going to revolution. I'm going to make 7 figures by doing this system that this guy, and I bought it for $50. The reality for most of us is we got to get really, really simple. The other thing for most business owners is you got to ask yourself, what is it you're doing you should not be doing?
Damn.
Right. So ask yourself, if you're listening to this right now, ask that question. What am I doing right now that I should not be doing?
That's like not serving you, you mean?
That's not serving you. And or someone else could do for leverage. And the trap we fall into is we struggle with investing money before we have it. And that's one of those things when you're approaching 2025, sometimes it's not looking at the things you are doing. It's looking at the things you are doing you should not be doing.
Yep.
Less is more.
Yep.
The other lesson I've learned is sort of hyper-focus versus, complication. And again, it goes back into this concept of simplification, but you have to sort of hyper-focus on one, two, or three things and then go deep in them.
Yep.
Before we go wide.
So give me an example of something like that.
Example of this for a realtor, right? Yeah. We'll take a real estate agent just because of the fact I'm sitting with one. An example of you going wide versus deep would be you try to generate leads off of Instagram, off of sphere of influence, off of open houses, off of farming, off of expireds, off of FSBOs. And I can go on and on, right?
Yeah, of course.
And you're like taking trainings and you're learning all these techniques, but you're not doing any of them deep. Instead of taking one, two, or at max three and saying, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to dominate my sphere. You know what I'm going to do next? I'm going to dominate open houses. And then the final thing maybe is social media. And I'm not saying that you need to follow that order.
Sure. Everyone's different.
I might recommend it, but.
Right. We got you.
But at the end of the day, until I've sort of progressed from one to the next, and this is a line I use in my coaching. Earn the right to complicate your business.
Mm.
So if I don't have my database organized, if I don't have a marketing plan for my sphere, if I don't have action plans or smart plans, depending upon your CRM, if I'm not reaching out to people on their home sale anniversaries, if I'm not providing value to my sphere,
I feel seen. I'm working on it.
You didn't realize this is a coaching session.
Shit, live coaching with Steph, my God.
But. And Steph, you're great. You probably have experienced this in your career.
I have, yeah.
We all of a sudden are, we take this great training and this is awesome and we're chasing this thing. And then we ignore the fundamentals of the business and we ignore the simplicity of reaching out to someone and just saying, hey, I can't believe it's been 5 years. Congrats on your home sale anniversary. And this is the trap that entrepreneurs fall into.
Totally.
We just overcomplicate the shit out of our business instead of keeping it simple.
Everybody, it's so true. So what have been your biggest lessons?
Do we have 2 hours? Or
how much time do you need?
Lesson one for everyone is learn to love failure.
Mm. Revel in that shit.
Yeah. We avoid failure.
Yeah.
For lots of reasons, fear, anxiety, whatever the reason is, learn to love failure. And if you embrace this concept of that failure is the greatest teacher you'll ever experience, then you're going to be very successful in life. You find me one successful person out there or any successful person out there, if they don't enjoy failing. And when I say enjoying failing, enjoy learning the lessons of the failure.
Being able to see it that way. It's a mindset shift.
It's a mindset shift. And again, because the reality of running a business is shit's going to go wrong.
Sure.
You're going to fail. And as long as you take some time to reflect and ask yourself the question, what did I learn from this? Then you're going to be great. And if you're listening to this right now, think back to 1 year ago. If you could give yourself any one piece of advice, what would that advice be? And that's a great way to do this reflection process, right? So, not to turn the tables, but like what's one thing if you go back a year
and just give myself advice,
just one piece, not too much, just one thing.
Continue to invest in myself.
Great.
Just like take a big bite and go for it.
Good.
And that's frankly like why I'm sitting here and doing this is I have always been very conservative and in a lot of different ways, but I just looked at what made me feel good, what people liked. And I'm like, I'm going to double down on that.
Yep.
And coaching for sure. Spending the time and also to your point about failure is knowing that even though you're going through really tough moments, you can't just like pause everything. You have to be able to enjoy life and see the positive while you're going through the tough deal, the hard personal thing. Like,
yeah,
there's always a silver lining to me.
Always, always.
It's a mindset shift for sure.
It always is. And I think that's like one of the hardest things to embrace, that the lessons you grow from the challenges.
Yeah.
And you really don't grow from the wins.
No, not really. And yeah. I think we're so used to, like, at least for me, and my coaches used to say this when I played at Penn State, it was like, you know, why is it that I think a lot of us have this, that you only hear the bad things really loud, but you don't necessarily take the time to hear all the good or remember all the good.
Yeah.
And just like taking a moment
and
reflecting on that is huge.
Yep.
It's important.
I'll give you my second lesson.
If go ahead.
Anyone's listening to this, and this is from a great book called The Gap and the Gain.
Oh, yeah.
Measure the gain and ignore the gap. So as an entrepreneur or business owner, you know, or even a human being, we automatically focus on all the things we did not get to,
right?
Versus focusing on the things we did get to. And as you build businesses, there will always be things you're not getting to. And if you obsess over those things, you'll drive yourself insane.
Yeah. Yeah.
And most of us are stacking what we need to do so tall. There's no world where we're going to get it all done. And instead, you got to look at every day, what did I do? What did I accomplish? And not focus on the things you did not get to.
Do you think it's always been like that? I just feel like even since I started selling real estate, that list has gotten bigger and more cumbersome. And I'm like, I didn't do that. I didn't come up that list.
Again, I do believe it's gotten worse as technology has gotten more prevalent in our industry.
Yeah.
If you were to go back to when I started, you know, you didn't need to have a social media account, let's say.
Or a full production team.
Full production team or podcasting, right? Like a lot of this stuff that we throw on our plate didn't exist.
Yeah.
And so while technology has made some things easier, it's also made a lot of things more difficult as well. So again, this is why I drive at simplicity.
Yeah. Do you have a third thing?
Third thing is obsess over the process, not the outcome.
Hell yeah.
All of us, I think Instagram is a huge culprit of this, or social media. We're being taught that the outcome is the goal and the process is the goal. If every day you woke up and you hyper-focused on the process and not the goal, the goals would magically all of a sudden appear and achieve. And if you're if you did a business plan, or if you're doing a business plan, take a look at all the goals or the things you want to achieve. And if these are outcome-based goals, I want to sell 20 million in real estate. I want to, do whatever it is that you put on there. That's an outcome.
Yeah.
If you're like that, you have to reframe that goal into a system or a process, right? I will sit 15 open houses in 2025, you know, whatever.
I want to run a marathon. You got to like follow a training plan.
You got to focus on the process, not the outcome.
Huge.
And that's it. So I think if you simplify, if you focus on the gain, and then you focus on the process and the systems, everything you want to achieve is become, I don't want to say it's easy, becomes very doable because of the fact that you are focusing on the right things versus the wrong things. And being an entrepreneur is a massive trap.
Such a trap.
Emotion and anxiety and stress and beating yourself up and all the above.
Yeah. You like wake up every day and you're like, I'm unemployed yet. I'm trying not to get fired.
That's right. Every day.
Especially in real estate, because you're like, there's so many rules and I don't know which one I'm breaking today, but probably some.
Yep. Exactly.
So what are you excited for 2025?
I am so excited about being off the launch phase of my business.
Okay.
So in 2024, I launched my coaching business.
Yeah. Tell us about
it. Again, learned lessons galore. and so I'm excited about 2025 because of the fact that I actually now get the chance to scale the business and build it versus just like day by day by day.
I'm so proud of you. Yeah, it's so exciting to watch.
I appreciate that.
I mean, really, like you've come from, you know, like sales leader. Yeah. I mean, KW days to really running your own show.
Yeah.
It's something to be immensely proud about.
Yeah. I'm extremely proud of it. And it's fun to think that 1 year ago, like this business didn't exist, period.
Yeah.
It was just in my head a year ago.
And you're going to write a book?
You know, I attempted to write one a couple of years ago and failed. So I'm only going to write one when I'm at a point where I know I can actually do it. I tried to do it. I even hired a ghostwriter. I still couldn't do it. It is, anyone out there that's trying to write a book, it is extremely difficult to do. It is.
I can imagine.
Yeah. And I think it's, I'm not to the point where I'm not to the point where I have the time that I can dedicate to it.
Yeah.
And then secondly, I'm not to the point where I'm like, I have the, you know, I'm locked in on the topic, the passion. I think if you're going to write a book, you have to have that thing that just, you wake up every day obsessed about the writing of the book. And I'm not there yet. I'm still obsessed about so many other things.
Which are?
Building a business.
Hell yeah.
Being a great dad.
Aww.
You know, making myself the healthiest version of myself that I can make.
Cool.
You know, so those are my three.
So what is, like, what do your health goals look like for 2025?
Great question. So one of the reasons I launched the business is because I recognized I was really living an unhealthy life.
Mm.
If,
I didn't know that. That's great. Good for you.
Cortisone stress is probably one of the worst things that you can do to your body.
Yeah.
And, you know, working in the role I was working in was unfortunately extremely stressful. Great role. I will forever be grateful for it. And I loved every minute of it, but it was very stressful to be flying around the country. And then, you know, you come back and you're full on as a dad, a single dad as well. And so that stress, and again, you know, new.
Of course not, because we're just supposed to look like everything's fine on
Instagram
the outside.
Great,
oh,
you know?
Yeah.
But I didn't have time to work out. I didn't sleep. I mean, imagine running Six Amers for 4 years, right?
Oh my God. So tell us what Six Amers is.
Yeah. So for anyone that doesn't know, Six Amers was a morning and accountability group I formed.
So great.
During COVID. And
this saved me and a lot of people during COVID. I remember just being like in my house, like, I can't go outside, doom and gloom. And I would just see like skies, beautiful face.
At 6 a.m.
At 6 a.m.
Yeah. And you didn't have a reason to get up. And
no.
It was like this like motivating
thing. It was purpose.
Thing, and unifying thing as well. Like,
for sure.
You know, so we had over 5,000 people sign up for at least 1 month throughout the entire run of it while I was there. And so it was an incredible group. But remember, it ran every week, 4 times a week.
It did.
6 a.m. West Coast or 6 a.m. East Coast, 6 a.m. West Coast, Tuesday, Thursday. So if I'm traveling on the West Coast for Compass, I needed to get up at 2:30 in the morning.
Sky.
To do 6 Amers.
That's bananas.
Yeah. And then I'd try to grab a couple hours of sleep or whatever. And then I'd get up and do it again.
Wait, can we just pause for a minute?
Yeah.
You know, one of my greatest memories of 2020, was it in 2023, was running the half marathon with you?
That's right. Yeah.
I
wish
incredible. I'll get a picture. I'm sure we can put one
that
up.
That was 23.
Yeah, because that wasn't this past year, but that was so fun.
Amazing.
Okay, so any more, like, is this the year you're going to run a marathon with me?
Maybe. Yeah.
I'm trying to get Robert Refkin to do one,
really?
Too.
I've done two in my life, so
he
I have
know
done
yet.
Two. And I would do one.
Okay.
It's not, again, it's something that's not calling me. One thing I'm going to do, I'll publicly state it here. I'm going to kick off the year with 75 hard.
Okay.
Have you ever done that?
No, I haven't.
Do you know what it is?
I do, but wait, refresh my memory, because I feel like there's 75 light as well.
Yeah, there's, I mean, again, so it's 75 days in a row.
Okay.
Every day, you got to get two workouts in of 45 minutes each, but one needs to be outside.
Okay.
You need to drink a gallon of water. You need to read 10 pages in a self-help book. You got to stick to one diet, any diet. And you got to take a progress photo every day for 75 days. By the way, if you miss one of those days, you got to
start
restart
over.
It. And for me, like, it's been such a good year, but at the end of the day, I have this burning desire to do something that's like really, really fucking hard.
I'm so geeky.
And I just want to challenge myself. I need to reinstill this like crazy discipline I had, you know, rowing at Syracuse, and to do this challenge, I need to make sure meal plan and craft. I need to make sure my sleep is on point. I need to make sure I'm like really, really disciplined and focused. And I know if I focus on my health and all those things, the spillover into my business will be like tenfold.
I think you had like coined this phrase, balance is bullshit.
Exactly.
I mean, I struggle with the same stuff.
It's such bullshit.
And I think we all have seasons. And I'm like,
that's right.
Going in a tailspin, I'm like, oh, I'm going crazy. Like, haven't seen my friends, or like, I didn't have time to date, or I didn't, you know, I wasn't eating right.
Yep.
And you're like, what? Something has to give. And I think what has to give is the expectation that like, we've got it all figured out.
That's right. We run on seasons. We've forgotten that we actually meant not too far ago. We operated to a seasonal calendar. Yeah,
we hibernated.
Exactly. We did. We relaxed. We chilled. We were not meant to be at 100 miles per hour every single day. And so I've been in like a little bit of a calm mode and relaxation mode
totally
over this past month, and sort of recharging and taking it easy, like not stressing. But I have this, I can feel as a result, I feel that drive kicking in, and that sort of edge and that craving of like waking up at 4:30.
Yeah, I get that.
Right.
Well, it means like you've taken the time that you need to like chill.
Yeah.
So I'm ready. I think that we're talking a little bit about like burnout and just the chaos. So I've definitely been there. How do you coach your clients now to avoid that?
Mm. Well, the first thing is you need to be healthy selfish. So you have to be selfish about your health. And when I say health, I mean mental, spiritual, and emotional, right? So we can't be our physical, mental, and spiritual.
Yeah.
Those are your three. And at the end of the day, you need to hyper-focus on those three every single day. And you got to be selfish about it.
Yeah.
There is everyone listening to this has a million and one choices a day that they could choose to do. Most of us don't choose to put ourselves first, and you have to.
Right.
So that's number one. And if you're focused on your health, the spillover into other areas of your life, your relationships, your business, your kids, you name it, it's amazing how that will spill over into everything else. And you know this from training for marathons, playing on sports teams, or whatever it might be. And by the way, it doesn't need to be physical. It could just be, you know, mental health.
Yeah.
Could be spiritual health.
Yeah.
Could be what physical health. But you have to be selfish about it and hyper-focus on it.
It's so hard to, especially in the day and age of like social media, one thing that like I personally struggle with is, yes, we all have a ton of choices, and I never feel like I think I'm worth it for sure. I'm like, I'm going for a run and I don't really like, you don't want to work with me, that's fine. But what I think was really challenging sometimes is, you know, the speed at which we're expected to do things. Yep. And I feel a little guilty. I don't want my clients thinking that like I'm not paying attention, you know?
Yep.
And I think that's probably a story I'm telling myself.
Reinforced
by social media. No, I'm kidding.
Well, avoiding burnout is about not creating stories.
Yeah.
So we often get burned out, not because of our clients, but because we're creating these stories of what we should be doing or we're not doing, or what they think about us, or we think they think about us, or whatever it might be. So if you are experiencing burnout, there's a good chance you're creating massive levels of stories.
Yeah.
Which is like these things that you're like, oh my God, they probably hate me because I haven't reached out, or they fill in the blank. Yeah. Hey, maybe they do, but most likely they're probably dealing with their life and relaxing as well. And if they needed you, they would have reached out.
You know, I think what's so interesting, you bring up a great point about we've all done this for sure. But as technology has gotten in the way, like I make it a real point to say, hey, we got to talk on the phone. I want to make sure that you know what I know and I know what you know and that you're hearing me. OK, and I'm hearing you.
Yep.
And this happens in all relationships. That's like, how many of us have read an email and been like, that bitch, did you hear that? I'm like, no, because I can't hear an email, you know?
Yeah.
And I think it's a testament of like, let's actually make sure that we're responding correctly, but that we're actually getting the right information and asking good questions afterwards.
Yeah.
Old Steph earlier on in my career definitely didn't know how to navigate that.
Definitely. And on that note, and third thing is control your technology.
Yeah.
So technology, if you're listening to this, go to your phone and see what notifications you have on. If you have notifications for text messages, for email, and for social media, you are being controlled by technology.
Yeah.
So you are not controlling your technology. And everyone will be like, no, but I need those because what if I miss something? I can guarantee, especially if you're in real estate or an entrepreneur, you are on your phone all day, every day. You're not going to miss anything. And by the way, if it's an emergency, they're going to call you. So if you have notifications on email, text, and social media, technology is controlling you no matter what story you're telling yourself. Because when that notification goes off, you are dealing with brain function and biology that is craving answering and looking at what that is.
Yeah.
It's like a little, if you have, or if someone says to you, hey, guess what? What do you want to know? What? Well, that's what a notification does.
Yeah.
And if they're, oh, never mind. What do you want to do? Wait, no, tell me. When you see a notification, it is your phone saying, hey, guess what?
Yeah, it's like taking a drug.
It's taking a legit drug. And so for anyone listening to this,
I'm addicted.
You have to control your technology.
Yeah.
Our brains were not meant to be overworked the way they are. And I think this huge thing right now that I'm so passionate about teaching people is controlling that technology. Turn those notifications off. Use technology in a way that it was meant to be used, not in the way that they're designing it to take control of you and literally make you insane. Make you insane.
Comparison is a thief of joy.
No, all you're doing is comparing all day, every day.
Yeah.
And or creating a story because you're like, oh my God, I'm a bad realtor because I didn't reply to this text message in the last 5 minutes.
Yeah, well, yeah. And I think a lot of business owners can appreciate that for sure. But doctors don't do that, you know?
Oh.
My accountant doesn't do that.
Absolutely not.
I love my accountant, by the way. They're great. And she probably would respond to me. But and I think it's a new day and age. And I think that's like starting or having a really good expectation up front, having a really, really good process like you were talking about up front helps set the expectation. It's like, I don't know what I don't know.
That's right.
Clients don't understand. Yeah. They don't know what they don't know.
Yep.
We're all learning through it at the same time, basically. Right.
Exactly. And then on that note, the fourth key to avoiding burnout is having a plan and operating to a plan.
And checking in on that plan.
And again, just trying to bring it full circle to the time frame. The vast majority of people that create a business plan look at it twice a year, once when they create it and once when they're creating it for the next year. And if you have a business plan that is too complicated, that you doesn't inspire you, that is all based around outcomes and not processes, you basically have something that is, I wouldn't even waste the time doing, but you get burned out because we have this invisible measuring stick when we don't have a plan and we're not. So we're operating to this invisible thing that we don't even know.
Yeah.
So the first thing you need to do is, what is my plan? What is my checklist? What is the thing that I'm trying to accomplish? And then how do I get there?
So you recommend starting with like your big goal at the end.
Yeah.
And then breaking it down.
And I, just so everyone knows, I almost never achieve my outcome-based goals. So the outcome-based goals I had for this business, I didn't achieve. But you know what? They're so fucking big. It doesn't matter if I achieve them or not, because what I achieved was really great.
Yeah.
But it wasn't the goal that I set. That's because I want to create a goal that really inspires me and drives me. But I don't put any emotional attachment to the outcome.
Yes. You have to separate.
Correct.
For sure.
Yeah, exactly. So the big numbers I put on that, my goal planning, are just sort of targets. Mm-hmm. What matters, though, is the systems and the processes that I establish underneath it. And so that's what matters.
How are you coaching a business plan now?
If it's more than a page, it's too long.
I love that.
If it's more than a page, it's not something that's usable. That's number one. Number two, keep it simple. Mm. I would say number three, double check your goals to make sure you're allowed to have a couple of outcome-based goals. Like if you're in real estate, for example, yes, I think it's good to have a target income and volume and unit goal, but reverse the order. Most agents start with volume or units. No one says, I want to make X, Y, or Z.
Got it.
So start with how much money do I want to make? And then back everything into that, right?
Yeah.
But beyond that, you really want to make sure every goal you're setting within your business plan is a sort of a process-based goal, not an outcome-based goal. The other thing then is right away, you want to schedule at a minimum 4 times in the year.
Right.
You are going to do a deep dive into your business plan and then create what, you know, the 12-week year, create
exactly.
A 12-week plan off of the 1 year plan. So this is how your business plan should be something that is a living, breathing document,
right.
Not something you create and you never look at. And the reason you want to create a 12-week plan is because you sort of want to check in on the yearly plan 4 times a year at least. You don't want to be looking at the yearly plan all the time, but then you want to be breaking this down into very bite-sized pieces. And one of our mentors, and you know, Gary Keller, one of the lines I've always remembered from Gary Keller was that the purpose of a goal is not to achieve it, but to dictate my actions in the moment.
Mm, wow, that's powerful.
And that for me is what a business plan should be. That the business plan is designed to allow me or to dictate what my actions are going to be today.
Yeah, something you can rely on.
Correct. But if you look at it once a year, it's
not so much.
It's something you're doing to check the box and make someone else happy, not to make you happy.
Yeah. So who do you go to for coaching?
Great question.
And mentorship and guidance.
So I have three people on what I call my board of directors, which is a fake thing.
Oh, that's cool.
I don't have an official board of directors.
I like that.
Yeah. But I would recommend for everyone out there to have at least three people. One person that's in the industry.
Okay.
One person that is adjacent to your industry. And one person that has nothing to do with your industry. Mm. And have these three people that you can lean on and trust for advice and guidance and being able to kick ideas around. So for me, the person outside of my industry is my cousin, Ryan Moore, who, you know, he's basically like my older brother, but a huge mentor. He's one of the most successful. He defines the word success. Like,
nice.
He was a captain of Doylestown CB West.
Nice.
Championship,
know it.
Right? Football team. Okay. Captain of the Ivy League championship team at Princeton.
Oh, wow.
He's the first investor in DraftKings. I don't know if you've ever heard of DraftKings.
I mean, who hasn't?
So he's a venture capitalist. So he basically takes business owners. And so he's probably my number one person on my board of directors. The second person is Jeff Angelucci, who's
a nice guy.
Great guy who I love running. You know, he's adjacent to real estate, but not in real estate. So it's great because, you know, he has a different perspective on a lot of things involving real estate.
Right. Of course.
And it's just one of those situations where, you know, I value his opinion, his guidance.
Yeah.
And then the person in the industry is my sister, Eliza. And she's obviously a great person. I lean on and go to inside of real estate. And obviously just from a life perspective, I trust her opinion and judgment tremendously.
Big fan of the Michaels.
Yes. She's
Michael Sibbs. I was going to ask you a question and it like slipped out of my head. Oh, how do you define success? How do you define success?
Happiness. I mean, that's it. Like, am I happy?
Short and sweet.
Yeah. I mean, I think that is success, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's nothing other than, do I wake up with a smile on my face? So I go to bed, you know, with a sigh of satisfaction. Mm. I think I actually hate sleep because I love life so much.
We're so much alike.
I hate it. Like, if I could choose not to sleep, I would.
Same.
Most
people know that.
Yeah. I love waking up. I know this sounds so crazy to listen.
You're the best.
I literally love waking up because it's like, oh my God, like, what's today going to be? I know. And again, I feel really, really lucky about the fact that I love life.
Mm.
You know, and I love this process of life and everything that comes with it.
Yeah.
The good, the bad, the challenges, the growth. And, you know, I think a line that I use inside of my coaching is, you know, we're climbing a mountain that has no top.
Yeah, that's
and
for sure.
That's just life. As long as you recognize like where your feet are is where, you know, be where your feet are.
Yeah, so yeah.
Just be where your feet are and enjoy every single moment right now, right here. And, you know, so many people in this world are either looking behind them with like regret and like anger and judgment and all this stuff. We're looking ahead of us with anxiety and stress and fear of the unknown.
And especially now, it's an unsettling time. I think we're just so inundated with information.
And Steph, here's the thing that's so sad is that the reality for 99% of the world, there's at least 99% of the developed world, is everything you need for happiness is actually right in under your feet.
Yeah.
It's right here.
Yeah.
You have it all. But we're so busy looking behind us or looking ahead of us, we fail to look down and say, oh my God, like I am living on heaven.
You know, people ask me like, oh my God, like, why do you run all these marathons? Or, you know, and then like, and people joke, but like, you get far more negative feedback when you're doing all this running. And it's so interesting. And, you know, when people say like, why do you do it? I'm like, well, one, I love it. And it like lights me up inside. But like, you know, there's a little part of me that thinks about there's somebody my age or younger or similar to me that like can't do what I'm doing. Like they just literally physically cannot do what I'm doing, which is incredibly sad. And I feel incredibly fortunate to be able to say like, you know, I'm running a marathon or I'm running in general, even if it's just like 1 mile, I'm literally doing it because I can. And that's the cool part. And success for me, I've realized this is very similar to you. It's health, my family's health, my health, happiness. And what creates happiness for me is the ability to say yes to anything. Like to helping people, to taking off, like, you know, we have, I joke, like we don't have any flexibility in this business because of how crazy things are. But in reality, like there is nobody, I don't have a boss. I have 10 bosses because they're all my clients. But in reality, like I have that ability and that's pretty cool.
Very cool.
And with people like you who've inspired me to just, no, seriously, like you exude happiness and good vibes and you're always somebody that people gravitate to, which is so fucking cool.
Oh, thank you.
We should hang out more.
I would love that. Part of me wants to run a marathon just so we can train together.
It's so, it is. Well, I'll talk at you the whole time.
I'm a talker too. You'd be so annoyed at us. They'd be like, what is wrong with those people?
Oh my God. That is actually very funny. So going into 2025, what are some things that you would just tell people to do to get started if they're feeling like trash, they had a bad year, they're going through a transition, they just got laid off. Maybe they're just, maybe the world to them isn't looking what they thought it would look like at this point in the year. What is your advice?
The first thing is reflect, all right? Pause and breathe and reflect. And when you're going through shit, often it's very difficult to find, you know, the diamonds in the shit, so to speak, right? Like, and you have to, they're there. And sometimes it's just a matter of us slowing it all down and pausing and reflecting. So often people, when they're going through bad stuff, want to speed up and like really like do 30 things, but that's just a recipe for burning out even more.
Totally.
So when you're going through really bad or challenging times, actually the ironic thing is actually to slow it all down. Slow it down, pause, breathe, and reflect. Once you're feeling like you're calm, that's the point where you can start to build. And, you know, another line you've heard from me is, what is it I can do to get 1% better? Right.
I love that.
You know, often let's say we're depressed or we're feeling down. We want to instantly feel happy.
Right.
The reality is it's very unlikely and almost impossible to just flip the switch.
Sure.
So if you're feeling depressed or down or you're upset about something, don't try to like instantly change that. What you want to do is, what would be one step slightly above that? So maybe, you know, I'm feeling depressed. Well, maybe anger, ironically, might be a little step above that because I'm actually feeling. Right. All right. Now I'm a little angry. All right. Well, the next thing is maybe, I don't know what else would be above that, but like calmness. Right. Okay. Now I'm feeling calmer. Now I want to feel inspired. I want to feel right. You start climbing up the ladder. But what is it that I can do that's just going to shift me that 1% and not worry about like changing it right there?
Yeah. What's one thing that you can do to just like move yourself into a different mindset, a different world?
Correct. Small.
Like getting outside.
Correct.
And go again, take a walk.
Yeah. If you're feeling overweight, for example, don't go run a marathon.
Nah.
Right.
Terrible idea.
Go for a walk. Literally go for a walk.
Well, that's like out of Atomic Habits. Just go figure out maybe which gym you want to go to.
Read Atomic Habits and it'll change your life.
That's like one of my favorite books.
That book is like, it's life changing. So
very cool.
Yeah.
Yo, you're the best.
You're the best.
Anything, any parting words? Oh, how do we reach you?
To reach me.
Yes.
withheartcoaching.com is my website. sky@withheartcoaching.com is my email.
And
Instagram is just my name at Sky you'll Michaels.
You'll be tagged everywhere. Amazing. And then who do you really like to work with?
I love working with realtors, obviously.
Yes, we love you too.
It's sort of an industry that obviously I know and love.
Yeah.
I love working with anyone else that's building a business as well. So, you know, entrepreneurs, real estate adjacent industries as well. You know, it's what I'm diving into, but I would say I'm hyper focused right now on making sure I build programming and coaching that really allows realtors to excel.
Awesome. Thanks. You're the best.
I appreciate your friend.
Yeah.
So good. Young John.